After you gave up the coaching role at Gloucester, did you stay involved in rugby at all, Dick?
About four or five games for All Cryptians. They asked me to play. So I said I'll play for the whoever's at home, the seconds or the fourths. And the thirds played home or away, and the seconds and the fourths, or something like that, I can't really remember. And I played about three or four games.
What age were you then?
I don't know, 40-odd, 30-odd. Can't really remember. I remember playing a couple of games, and it was lovely to make a little break and give it to these little kids and young kids, and they'd go running off down the wing and score. I enjoyed that. And then I played against one game, the last game we played. I scored a try, and Derek Elwes, the old Cryptian, was refereeing the game. And I picked the ball up from the side of the scrum, so it was over. And he was the wrong side of the scrum, so I didn't see it, no try. And that annoyed me. So from the following time I got the ball, I knocked about three or four of these little lads over and put the ball in with them and no, disallow that one. And then I thought to myself, I was walking back, what have I done? Knocked these little kids over. Yeah. So I went in the dressing room and said, Derek, no more. So I didn't play again.
Mm.
I thought, stupid, lose your temper or something like that.
We haven't talked about John Watkins.
When he first came to King's Home, I was captain, first season, and he couldn't stick the training, and he left, went back to Gordon Lee. And he came the following year, and he stuck the training, and he became a damn good player, dedicated, doing a good job now with reffing as well, still refereeing.
He is, yeah. We're both associated with Cheltenham Civil Service, and he refs down there regularly.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah.
He's a good ref, and
of course people see it as a privilege
to be ref by him.
I went to watch my grandson play a school match, and John was on the line watching the referee. Yeah, I said, what are you doing here? He said, just come watch the ref. Give him a few tips. Keen on a Wednesday afternoon. I remember when he went on that tour to South Africa when he got his first cap. It was his first cap, must have been. I remember saying, because that was a bit part of it, and we were staying in a hotel, Star and Garter, I think, in Richmond. And the whole squad had to leave together on the coach. There was five reserves. We spent the whole week training with them. And because of the apartheid and the demonstrations, we all got on the coach and left, and there were all these people waving banners. And we drove into the back door of Heathrow and drove straight up to the plane, which would be unheard of nowadays. And they all went up onto the plane, and five of us had to walk out to the front door and go home. That was a bit sickening.
Yeah.
All those reserve cards and training sessions, and I thought, dear, oh dear, we go again. But I remember saying to John on that tour, I thought, can't remember who the players were. Neary played, Ripley played, and I think they took two wing forwards, blindsides, John Watkins, and I think it might have been Peter Henry, Cornwall. Now, I remember saying to John when he left to go on that tour, I said, hey, there's only two of you, and neither of you got a cap, so make sure you come back with one.
Yeah.
And he played in that against Springboks, I think. Maybe he might be playing tricks, I can't remember.
Can I completely switch the subject, so to speak, to the administration of the Gloucester Club? How much did you have to do with the committee when you were playing? Who were the influential people running the club?
Well, I was lucky enough to be there was the famous three, Doc Alcock, Arthur Hudson and Tommy Voice.
Yeah.
They were like figurehead people, you know. But they were very approachable. You know, they weren't, and then Mervyn Hughes,
Tell us about each of them. How about Arnold Alcock, the Doc?
Yeah, he used to come in. Any injuries? Yeah, so and so. Got the hospital. Yeah, walk back out. He'd never do anything. But very respected people, those three.
Yeah.
Remember Mervyn Hughes.
And Arthur Hudson? What do you remember
Arthur,
of him?
Well, Arthur was Gordon's dad, and he's very brisk walking. As you walking down from the sports shop, along Northgate Street and down Worcester Street, and you'd pass him and he'd always say good morning, but, you know.
And of course Gordon followed on behind Gordon him in the administration of the club. Tell us about Gordon.
Look, I think Gordon was one of those unfortunate players who played Wartham Internationals, and I'm not sure what how true it is, but the rumour was that the last Wartham International was against Scotland at Murrayfield, and the last train home was say 5 o'clock, and the game wouldn't have been finished by then, so all the selectors left to go and pick the team for the first full international. And Gordon scored 4 or 5 tries second half. And by the time they'd found out, they'd picked the team and he wasn't in it. Yeah.
And good Tom cricket, Voice, did you meet Tom Voice?
Oh, yeah, I met Tom a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom was as blind as a bat.
That went and back to a First World War injury, didn't it?
Yeah, but he used to drive his car. This is true, honestly. And he couldn't see over the end of his nose, hardly. He's put 2 pairs of glasses on to read something. And coming back from Cinderford in the fog, and he was following Pete Ford, and Pete was going faster to get away from him because he was right up his backside, and Tommy was going faster to keep up with him. There's a story, he drove along Worcester Street in those days. There was a big high curve underneath Stretton's Bridge. You know Stretton's, the railway bridge in Worcester Street, Stretton's across it. He drove along the pavement there in the fog and got out and dropped about 3 feet the road. He was a road safety officer as well, Tom.
Did he have any influence on you, being Ford
really.
Himself?
No, not really. Yeah. No. They say he was the instigator of the modern game of being forward.
Yeah.
Prior to that, was first up, first down. I mean, Doc Alcock said that. He was picked as a hooker for England. And apparently, it was his brother that was selected. And they got the wrong name on the thing, so he turned up and played. Whether it's true or not, the first air was in the front row in those days.
Yeah.
John Abair
and Digger Morris were still around as a pair.
John Abair raced Hoppy once the hours for years. There was a lot of back check going on, and only John Abair was about 60 odd and Hoppy was in his 20s, and Hoppy had to give him something like 30 or 40 yards start over the length of the pitch. John Abair beat him as well.
Oh, I was wondering. Yeah. I was wondering why Terry hadn't mentioned that in our interview. Yeah. In their day, they seem to have been, shall we say, the social heart of the club as well.
Yeah, always a lot of fun.
And Mervyn Hughes, what memories do you have of Mervyn?
He was a nice, real nice fellow, but he was a vicar and used to curb things slightly when he was on the bus. Yeah, and we played at Oxford University the 1 year, and they got this club, Vincent's Club, in the middle of Oxford, where you go back for a meal afterwards. And apparently, we didn't know at the time, but we were having these meals, and the Oxford University players have got to put that bill themselves.
Yeah.
They're not paid for by the rugby union, by the Oxford Rugby Club. So Mervyn told us, because he the next blew, he told us, when you go there, don't have a meal. The players have got to pay for that.
The committee men used to travel on the coach with you.
They have the beer money, the allocation, 2 jugs on away games.
And presumably they came along on the tour to the end of season tour as well to try and keep you in control.
Yeah, try. Virtually impossible, I think.
Well, I think we've pretty well gone through all the questions I'd thought of beforehand.
There's one story associated with you. Is it actually true? There was a midweek game against Pemberley School Wanderers, and you were down to play at wing forward, and they turned up one man short, and you played for them in the centre.
I can't remember if I played in the centre or not, but I played.
That's the story. You played in the centre.
I scored a try.
Against Gloucester, scored a try, and they won.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Ron, true, is it?
Yeah, Ronnie Etheridge took the dummy under the post. Can't believe it. I went out and she ran under the sticks.
So you actually scored against Gloucester?
Yeah,
Kingston.
Twice. Yeah. I played in... There was an International 15 game on a fundraising tour, and Gareth Edwards, and it was foggy as anything. And Ripley was had organised it, Andy Ripley. Because he's got a bit of an affinity with Gloucester, he likes Gloucester.
Well, his mum lived in Winchcombe.
And maybe he agreed to play him, being one of the star names. He was in the programme, he said, so I've got to go out there. He said, but he was injured. He said, so I'll go out there in 2 minutes, I'll come off, and you go on. I said, fair enough. So another one I went on and played, and I scored in that game as well. But that game was so foggy, and I remember Gareth Edwards repeated a little team talk about what they're going to do, and he said to Gareth Edwards, Gareth, you read the backs, what are you going to do? He said, we only have two moves, says low up and unders and high up and unders. That's all they appreciate down here. And he's had this thing of running past and ball behind his back. And over by the what was it new clubhouse, then he did this trick and scores in the corner, and then they kick off and he says, get down the other corner. He says, no, I'll do it over that side so they can see it. And he did. He got me the best player I've ever seen. Scrum half. Absolutely brilliant player. He said he was a running scrum half, but he kicked the ball more than he ran. But when he kicked it so sensibly. Terrific player.
Yeah.
He had everything.
So the last thing I'd like to ask is, are there sort of any golden memories you have of rugby that we haven't covered so far this morning, Dick?
It's just like the camaraderie of going to other places and seeing people you played against years ago.
Yeah.
That's what I... Especially like Pontypool, when we won that cup in 72, we had one telegram. Lost the rugby club. Saying congratulations. That was from Pontypool.
Yeah.
Pontypool and Gloucester, very similar sort of makeup. So I must admit, if I go to an away drink, I don't go very often now, but it's always nice to meet people you played against. Don't think they get that nowadays.
No, because it's players come and go far more for each club as well, don't they? You know, it's not the same continuity.
Well, all the players we mentioned here now, they still all live in Gloucester.
Yeah. You still regularly go to the home games, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No. Didn't come and see me when I was bad. No, we have a golf on a Saturday now. I go occasionally, not very often.